Time for another Kennedy Malloy catch-up. For garden tools with more power and less noise, use Makita's cordless power garden tools. Power over 200 tools with one battery. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
You got that right, big fella. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick Malloy.
Hello, Dangerous
Mickey,
Dave.
Jane, hi.
Are we all good?
We are.
Ready to go?
Ready to go.
We have got a corker.
We have got a corker.
Wrapped up for your enjoyment today. We're going to go to Brisbane first, the Broncos. In disarray. Is it the perfect preparation or not? How much did they win at the pokies? Did it cost them a spot?
They're 58-0
wow.
loss.
We're going to speak to Wendell Saylor.
Oh, big Wend.
Broncos
Love
champion
him.
And get to the bottom of that.
Alan Joyce is the country's highest paid chief executive. Now, we say that's great as long as we get into the chairman's lounge. Now, that's
earn right. your money. Get us in there.
Get us in there, Joycey.
We'll get to the bottom of
We're
that.
We're behind you all the way.
Just a moment. People who swear are smarter and stronger.
Well,
says
I could
science.
Have effing told you that.
All right.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah,
gee,
well.
I know some real mensers. Most of them are on the golf course. We'll get to the bottom of that. The Secret Service, Jane.
Yeah.
What is the lowest thing they've been asked to do since Trump has been in government?
It's to source something that you say
means you're a bogan.
Means you're a bogan.
A jet ski. Is it?
But is it the lowest thing they've ever done?
No, I don't think it is. Okay. We'll get to the bottom of that.
All right, terrific.
You've got one job, pilots.
Oh, my God.
And that is don't spill your coffee.
Well, how about you refrain from having drinks in a cockpit?
What, do you need a coffee, what, to stay awake?
Please, that does not help me.
Jeez Louise, we'll get to the bottom of that. Hey, we've got a crusty demon on the show today.
Oh, I love my crusty demons.
So we'll talk to
Rob
Adelberg.
We've got big Rob Adelberg
there
coming in. And our mate Merrick Watts.
Merrick, what's he talking about?
He's dieting at the moment.
Oh. Is he?
Yeah, he's doing a roll. He looked pretty slim before.
Yeah, he's in good shape.
I want to find out what his secret is.
Has he got his own app out?
I don't know. He wants to know what is some of your diets and what has worked.
Oh,
if we all knew the miracle one.
Yeah, I'd love to help him out.
We'd all been doing that.
Hey.
Have you ever found out you've been dropped on social media?
Well, have you found out anything on social media?
Yeah, that's true. Okay, anything.
You lost your job or that something's happened because social media seems to be breaking a lot of news these days. Especially if you're Seb Costello. Wow.
Hey, yeah. Wooshka.
We will, there's so much to wade through. We're going to have it play a little bit from Alec Baldwin's roast. We'll take your calls.
Oh,
we'll take your tweets. We will get rocking.
Now, there's a few things to get through from the head.
Initially, can I just say congratulations to everyone at my boys' school for their concert last night. Of course, Fred and Lenny took to the stage as soldier ants.
Oh, was it great?
Let's just say the reviews from the entomologists are universally
It's
great.
A hit.
Well, you know, it's so much fun. For everybody who goes to these concerts are hard.
And just say what grade they're in.
I'm just like, they're in grade one.
Grade one.
And they're sharing
peppers.
The stage with preppers, early learnings, and they're the funniest. There's always a kid who goes rogue.
Yes.
So
you pray for
about
that
40
moment.
Bumblebees come out from the wings, and all of a sudden one charge is off in a different direction. But with my boys, and I don't want to pass judgment on their performance, but like most of the soldier ants, they spent most of their time trying to locate their parents in the audience. So they've got one eye on their routine and their dance numbers, and the other is trying to scour the audience. And eventually, I'd love to go and see Waves of Plenty.
Yeah,
I'd love to go and see like Jeffrey Rush in a STC production of Hamlet, where you just see him scouring the audience. Hey, Mum,
I'm here.
Look at me, I'm Hamlet.
Must be distracting.
It was a lot of fun.
That's great. Their costumes good?
They were very good. Up to book week standard.
That's high in your house.
Whoever does this and it's herding cats, let's be honest, and whoever gets like all those kids on stage dancing in some kind of unison, I say to you, there should be a march or a ticker tape parade because
you're right,
an incredible job. Well done.
And high the ball.
Now, it meant I missed. Have you been paying attention? But I feel like I've missed a doozy because you're making headlines today.
Well, mate, this is about third week in a row that headline.
What happened?
I saw this headline. Young Tim McDonald, who's been working with Working Dog for quite a few years.
Yes. Having his first hit out.
Yeah.
His first hit out. Memorable one.
Well, it's been written up in the papers. What's he done?
That's been a good day at the office, hasn't it, when you went? Well, Danny Minogue was a special guest. And
yes,
let
as
you know,
Tom flagged on this show yesterday.
And Danny's coming in on our very own show on Thursday.
Later in the week.
And anyway, she was a guest and she was asking
talking about questions. Her new show, The Masked Singer.
Yes. And she got to this question and Tim answered. Do you want to hear what
yes,
happened?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Where did the format for The Masked Singer originate?
Tim, the bottom of a barrel is...
just a saucer of milk over here.
Well played.
Okay,
whack,
so,
he's come out swinging, the new boy.
Well, the headline is something shocking
What's the headline?
Oh, have you been paying attention? Slams The Masked Singer and horrifies Danny. And
because they're stablemates of Have You Been Paying Attention?
Stablemates. In fact, the lead-in of Have You Been Paying Attention next week.
Of course.
Just quietly, Tim.
Wow.
But now that it's...
now, you're good at this stuff. Is there trouble at Mill? Is there internally? Have you received a memo? Yeah. Have you all been dragged into the station manager's office?
I did text him last night to wish him good luck.
Yeah.
And he did text back, ironically now.
Right.
Thanks, Jane. I'll always remember being part of the very last Have You Been Paying Attention? that might have been prophetic.
All right.
So well done to
you. Tommy smooth everything over
in
his usual fashion?
Of course he did. You know how good Tom is at that.
Can I ask, did he stare unnecessarily at Danny Minogue's cans? Because that's where I worry about him these days.
He was pretty good. I think he's learned his lesson or he's been told off at home.
I'll tell you
what I'm distracted by. More cowbell on your T-shirt. That is a great T-shirt.
It is.
What's that?
Well, it's my religion. The cowbell.
It is your religion.
Let's go to a song. And maybe, does this song need any cowbell? Oh
it's perfect.
Quick. Get it out.
Where's your stick?
Someone's taking my drumstick.
Yeah. Use a pen.
I've got a spare one. Here we go.
Quick. In time, please.
Ah, you got there.
Mickey.
Here it is.
2, 3, 4.
Kennedy Malloy, thanks to Makita's cordless power garden range. You can find your authorised dealer at makita.com.au.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
We've got a crusty demon, Rod Adelberg's going to join us this hour, then Merrick Watts in the second hour as well. Kennedy Malloy.
Can't wait, Dangerous Dave, but let's start with the biggest story, not even just a sports story. I think this is the biggest story.
You love stories like this, don't you?
Right now. It involves a scandal. Is it a scandal? It involves the Broncos and their lead up to their, well, their record-breaking 58-0 loss to the Eels. Which pushed them out of the finals of the NRL. Here's how it's been covered in news.
The Courier-Mail's Pete Bedell has revealed 8 players attended a pub in Surry Hills till as late as 11:30pm on Saturday night without the knowledge of Broncos management, including coach Anthony Seibold. The group weren't drinking alcohol and there's no suggestions the players did anything wrong.
Right. Apart from getting out of the team hotel without permission and playing the pokies and then coming out and, basically splaffing all over the joint. Is it news? Is it not news? Have they done the wrong thing?
Sounds juicy to me.
Why don't we ask a former Broncos bad boy, send someone ashore to have one of the greats, one of the best wingmen to ever play the game. It's Wendell Saylor. Hey, Wendell.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. I'm not sure why he came to me because...
I don't know why the big win.
11:30 on a Saturday night, they're not drinking, they're playing pokies. I only wish I would have done that back in the day.
So that's a mild night out. You used to do that at half-time, I believe. is that true?
I think the hardest thing here is this. I mean, the game's changed so much now, and I think it's the 58-0 flogging. That's what, you know...
Yeah.
Story.
They were asked not to participate in a Mad Monday, weren't they? They were told to put their cue in the rack in regards to a Mad Monday, and then this news breaks. What happens in team camps? Is this an issue or not? Will this blow over?
I don't think it's an issue. The issue is, as I said, that they got flogged, and I think because the Broncos stumbled into the finals, probably stumble's not the right word.
careful of your choice.
Yeah, but I think because of, you know, the Wayne Bennett switch over and Seibold, and I think you've got a lot of young players there. This is not really a story. I know for some of the, for some of your members and the Broncos fans, and even as an ex-Bronco, I'm just disappointed. The scoreline, like that's a part of it. I've got to cop that, the boys.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it's newsworthy.
It is newsworthy because we're talking about it.
A pub patron apparently was sitting next to Anthony Milford as he played the pokies. And he said to him, he asked him what time he was playing the next day. And this patron said, I knew the game started at 4 p.m. But Milford turned to me and said, I think it's at 6, eh? He said he wasn't taking the piss.
Well,
he was dead
set. That means you would have been there early.
That's right. Oh, no.
Hey. Yeah, look, you know, yeah, sometimes it's hard because, you know, you're in a hotel room. Like, I mean, it's not a hard thing to be there, but sometimes your roomies, you know, don't want to participate. It's only 8 of the boys went there. And,
yeah.
How did those 8 play, by the way? Did anyone stand out for you? Or they all got a pass?
To be honest, mate, none of them really stood out. They just, you know, what it was like boys versus men out there. And they should. I'm actually more disappointed for Anthony Seville. You know, being a new coach,
and
also he's one of my best mates. So I haven't actually been contacting him yet, but I'm disappointed for the club.
You're disappointed you didn't get the invite down to Harpo and Harry's.
I haven't been there.
Here's my Wendell.
Probably glad that I wasn't there. That's
Wendell, if the boys want to sneak out, you've got so many venues to choose from. But Harpoon Harry's,
it's a bit visible, isn't it?
Begging for trouble.
Oh, I know. Look, I agree. We need to coach these boys on where to go and where not to be seen, I suppose.
Is there going to be fallout, Wendell? How does the Broncos, obviously up to their eyeballs, dealing with a massive loss? What do they need to be seen to do something? Is this going to? What do you do?
Look, I think for such a great club like the Broncos, you know, they haven't won a premiership since 2006. Now, the last one they lost was in 2015. I think there's going to be pressure on Seibold and obviously Paul White to let some players go, especially if they've got such a young roster, and look to be buying one or two other players, I suppose, to bolster the ranks, because, you know, they played okay this year, but I think people expected them to be sort of a top four side.
Hey, we're getting down the pointy end of things now. What's your vibe for who's going to play off?
Oh, look, guys, I was disappointed to see Melbourne lose last week. We were down there.
Yeah.
Make it to the woods, you guys. But I think Canberra, a bit of a shock. I think they just keep surprising people in Manly. But I still think the Roosters. I think the Roosters are going to be hard to beat.
Jeez.
Like in the AFL, Richmond are going to be hard to beat.
Thank you. Hey, Wendell. I think the Storm's plan is to take a few more out with the fireworks pre-game. We might just align a few up, bazooka style.
I've never seen anything like that. How good was that? I mean, sorry, it wasn't that good at someone.
What a terrible accident.
You know what they're saying is? Mate, it's always fun and games until someone loses their
life.
That's right. And that's what nearly happened.
You're right, Wendell. Hey,
good on you,
great
Wendell.
Hearing you.
Thanks for catching up. You sound in good form. Well, we'll have a beer when I see you. Cheers, mate.
That's good, mate. You'll shout.
As always.
Bye.
The great Wendell Saylor joining us on Kennedy Malloy.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy.
We've got a homegrown crusty demon joining us in studio. Rob Adelberg comes up soon, then Merrick Watts in the second hour. Kennedy Malloy.
You wouldn't want to go out partying before a night riding for crusty demons.
Yeah, you've got to have your wits about you.
Right.
You'd have to be dinked. You'd have to get on the back of someone else's boat or get in one of the side carts.
That's true. But off the back, we're talking about the Broncos players who went out on the night before a game.
Right?
Yeah, cough button.
By the way, we're getting a lot of calls from Broncos members.
Yeah, we know you're upset.
It's
about
50-50. Some are saying let it go. Others are saying,
They lost 58-0. And some of the boys were seen on the pokies at a pub the night before. But perhaps that wasn't appropriate. And we're trying to think of other sporting events or sports people.
Preparation that may not have been ideal from sportsmen. There's a couple of names that come up. I always think of Jai Taurima.
Remember
Jai Taurima? He was a long jumper for Australia. He got a silver medal. I think he got a silver medal.
I do remember him very well.
He used to smoke a packet a day.
Yes.
Is that right?
See, that's
inspiring. In fact, I used to see him at training and he'd put one out before he made his way in. That gave me great hope.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe I could be an elite athlete.
Almost.
John Daly, you mentioned.
I did. Well, I know that he's a super fagger, not to mention that he's a little on the porky side and likes a bit of a tipple.
Well, he admittedly, he won at least one major drunk. He reckons he can't remember the back nine.
See, that's fantastic. That gives everyone hope to be a drunk smoking golfer.
That's what I tell my caddy. What should we open now? I say we go a Melbourne bitter.
Why not?
250 out. There's a slight dog leg. Melbourne bitter.
Very nice. See, that's where I'd play golf.
What about Robert Allenby?
Like well, that was in the Sony Open. He had just missed the cut. Yeah. And remember, that was the time when he was in Hawaii. Mm. And he suffered a terrible ordeal where he was...
Or did he? We don't know.
We've never gotten to the bottom of that.
He's got memory loss.
Yeah. But
it did involve a strip club, did it not?
I'll be very careful.
Oh, shivers. Hang on.
No, I don't think we got to the bottom of that.
No, we didn't find out.
We never did.
But,
Warnie, he got in trouble.
Well, Warnie famously.
He says, talks about it in his book.
He talks about it in the book. I've grilled him personally. We were playing golf together and I said, I have to ask. I said, because this is when he was holed up in a room with two girls and they set him up and a local paper took the tabloids.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And he was in the Playboy Jocks, and I remember saying at the time, I said, mate, I can understand you getting... getting set up. Sure. I can understand it being done by one of his friends.
Oh, that's
really
awful.
Was terrible.
That's terrible.
I said, but they mustn't have understood their luck when you've taken the dogs off to reveal the Playboy jocks because they can't plant that.
No. That's a
and that was in the middle of a county cricket game, I think. He may have got the call in the middle of it.
So. I must make it clear, too, about Robert Allenby. I believe it was a wine bar.
Yes. What we were...
That's what I meant to say.
I always go back to the World Cup and when I got on Mexico.
Mm. You were backing them?
I think these teams can go all the way.
Why was that?
After, for their preparation, they went on a bonding exercise, which involved having a night out without their wives and partners.
Yeah.
But with high-class prostitutes. Do you remember that? It was two days.
It was bonding.
Oh, camp bonding. Sure. 2 days out from the start of the World Cup. And I went, you know what? That may just focus the team's energy.
There were 30 escorts there, by the way.
Well, 30 escorts and well organised.
Yes.
I don't know how you'd do that.
Good Lord. What about the Spanish basketball team?
Well, congratulations. They've just won the gold medal at the World Cup. But
sorry,
I wonder if they
that,
cheated like their Special Olympic team did. Do you remember that? Perfect preparation.
This was the 2000 Paralympics in Sydney.
This is the greatest cheat in the history of the world, by the way. You know that.
I do know that.
2000 Olympics, Special Olympics. Spain take the gold by fielding able-bodied athletes.
Oh, that's horrible.
Impersonating.
Yes. They fielded athletes with no disabilities.
Okay.
That's terrible.
I put it to you. How badly do you want a gold medal?
Yeah, exactly.
My goodness.
Wow. I don't know.
Can you think of any? We'd like to know.
1-3-3-5-3. If you can think of any worse preparation from athletes in the lead up to a big game, I'd love to hear them.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
In honour of the Broncos and their breakout from their team camp.
Yeah.
And then subsequently go to play the Pokies at Harpoon Harry's.
In Sydney, which is pretty high profile, I would have thought.
Do you know who I'd like to hear from? Harpoon Harry.
Yeah.
Harpoon himself.
Somebody can get Harpoon Harry on the line. He'll have all the answers.
What about the guy saying, what time are you playing tomorrow, bro? He goes, six. He goes, swore it was four.
Anyway, I got us thinking, what's the perfect preparation and who hasn't had it in the past? Can I throw one on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Nick Kyrgios at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Now, the night before a very big game, he was seen at a pub at 11:30 buying everyone beers and he got... sold out the next day.
Okay.
And it was done because there was actually a reporter tweeting going, dude, you are not going to believe it. I'm in a pub. It's 11:30.
And he's playing tomorrow.
He's playing Nadal tomorrow or whoever it was.
Oh, my
and
God.
Going, he is here
not
buying
ideal.
Beers.
No.
No, not ideal. We've had some good calls in here. Let's go to Mark. Mark, you're reminding us of a good bloke, Freddie Flintoff.
Who may not have had the perfect preparation for a World Cup game.
No, I think the 2007 World Cup, he 4 a.m. he decided to try and take one of those pedal boats out to the Pine and boat them on a yacht.
That's funny. As you do.
Pedalo.
Yeah. Imagine as you're paddling back to shore and there's the team manager standing
waiting
there.
For you.
Hello, Freddie. What are we up to?
I'll tell you what, you had to pedal hard in those boats too. That'd be hard if you're a bit tired.
Good call.
Thanks,
hey, prize for Mark. Yeah, I do remember that.
Tickets to go see James Rain's Boys Light Up Tour coming around Australia. Congratulations.
All right. How about Fraser we go to?
Hi, guys.
Yeah, what sport, Fraser?
One, snooker.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm listening.
A good old guy called Bill Werbenick from Canada.
Yeah.
Pretty good player. He used to drink all game. Every frame, he'd be drinking pints of lager.
Wow.
He was
well known for it.
I would suggest to you that's a performance-enhancing drug much better.
But it would relax you more. You wouldn't be shaky shake.
And would he play pub rules? Like if he beat his opponent without sinking a ball, would he make him do a lap with his pants around his ankles?
We don't know for sure, but he was on telly quite a lot with it. I don't know, maybe they just cut that piece out.
That's a great one, Fraser. We'll give you a prize too. That's a great name to bring up too.
Prize coming your way, Fraser.
G'day, Tom. You would like to remind us about someone very famous.
Yeah, g'day, Mick. G'day, Jane.
Hey.
Usain Bolt famously tells a story at the 2008 Beijing Olympics. He reckons he didn't trust any of the local food, so he was running, I think, at about 7 or 8 in the evening. And this was in the 100 metres final, and he slept in, went to Macca's at about midday, got some nuggets, went back to bed, back to Macca's, more nuggets, then blitzed it with one of his shoes untied.
Wow. Oh. That is awesome.
That's just getting the mental upper hand, isn't
it? I love that. And great storytelling, Tom.
Let's go to Gavin. Let's go to Gavin, if we could. Yeah.
Hey, Gavin.
What do you want to remind us of? Yeah, what do you want to remind us of?
I'm pretty sure a few years ago, a couple of the Australian swimmers, I might, Magnussen and the boys like that, they got on the skill knocks.
They did, that's right.
In the Australian swimming
camp. But that was prescribed to them for sleeping, wasn't it?
I don't think it was being used in the correct fashion.
Oh, okay.
I think there was some nudie runs at 4 in the morning and a bit of hijinks the night before.
Good
that's
Lord.
That's all legal.
Can you remember what the result was, Gavin?
I'm being told to put an allegedly in there.
Didn't do too good. I don't think the Red Bull didn't really give them that many wins.
Thank you, Gavin. All right.
I think still knocks an Australian swimming is probably not a great combination. Probably I think we've got time for one more. Is Peter on the line? If we got to take Peter's call, because I know this story too. Peter, who are you telling us about?
How are you going, guys? My younger brother was mates with Paul Vanderhaar and
Merv Nagel.
Merv Nagel back in the day.
Yep.
And they'd have their card night on Friday night around at our place.
Yes.
I'd get up to go to work early Saturday morning, and here they are, the three of them still sitting there, and the ashtray would be overflowing. The VB cans would be stacked halfway to the ceiling.
And they'd be off to play for Essendon that day.
Oh, Mum would be there cooking them up bacon and eggs, and off they'd go.
Can I tell you this, Peter? I know that. Breakfast. And in fact, Paul Vanderhaar, as far as I remember, was the last AFL footballer to ever have a cigarette at three-quarter time.
Oh, the Flying Dutchman.
The Flying Dutchman. Yeah. There it is. You get the idea,
thanks,
people.
Thanks, everyone. Love that.
So I'd be tending all that if I was defending the Broncos right now. If I was their QC, I'd be popping all that as for priors.
Correct.
The table. Let's give it a.
There's a template for this.
Yeah, it's not unusual.
All right. Good on Australia.
Coming up next, a crusty demon, Rod Adelberg, joins us. Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Rob Adelberg. Crusty demon Rob Adelberg hails from Benalla in country Victoria and is one of the hottest FMX riders in the land.
Rob Adelberg in first place.
He's been busting out tricks on bikes since he was a kid and now performs them around the world with an impressive list of medals, championships and broken bones to show for it. He's currently touring with the Crusty Demons on their Australian leg of the Rise of the Demons World Tour. And we welcome him to the show now, Rob Adelberg.
Bang. How are you, Rob?
Good, mate. Good.
Interesting that you come from Benalla, which is one of the most peaceful, tranquil,
it is.
Idyllic places on the face of the planet. They've got a beautiful bowling green. They've got a wonderful racetrack. It's
seems
picturesque.
To be, yes.
How the hell?
It's quite bucolic.
Yeah. How the hell
how do, we get a crusty
do you
demon?
Get involved? How does a crusty demon emigrate from Benalla?
Well, country town growing up, you're either kicking the footy or you're riding motorbikes.
You're outdoors, right?
I did both, but I took to the motocross and the jumping.
Now, you said your dad was involved. That's how you got involved. You were watching your old man go berserk in the front lawn on a bike.
Yeah, he passed it down to me, and he's an earth mover by trade, so he's able to build the jumps.
Oh, perfect.
He's your one-stop shop, so he could make the jumps.
Hey, when we hear that you were young when you started, what age is young?
Just to start riding motorbikes, 3 or 4 years old.
What?
Wow.
Okay, so I thought I was daring. I had my kids on those bikes, those wooden bikes with no pedals, you know those, and they can... Right. Yeah,
and
the balance
they're 16.
Bike. They're a bit behind.
My boys at the age of 5 stole and crashed my golf cart. So is that, do they show promise?
Yeah, that could be a crusty demon.
It's on the way.
And
you've got a child yourself. How old's he?
Yeah, Caden, he's 9 years old.
And so he's seen dad fanging it in the front yard and he's in.
Yep.
So at nine, what's he already riding?
He's on a KTM 50. He's due for a 65.
Oh.
Oh, my God, Father.
And even the 50 that he rides, if you give it hell, it gets up on the back wheel.
Rob, this is giving me just the biggest jitters of all time. I'm out at your mum goat with all that.
A lot of parents don't let their kids climb trees these days, but you've propped him up and pushing him off on the front
lawn.
Good for you. So tell me all about it. So you're a crusty demon, you made that. How many broken bones? Let's get through that first.
Both wrists, shoulder, both bones of my leg, my left leg, shattered my left ankle, right heel. I reckon, yeah, maybe 10, something like that.
And is it boring? Do you have to go to hospital for a while or you just sort of recover at home with plaster?
Depends how good it is. with my left wrist, I had a deep-seated infection. I was in hospital for about a month.
Oh, man.
About 8 surgeries to keep
that's
my
not
arm
cool.
on.
Well, what are we going to take for you to go, yeah, I reckon I might be done here.
What's the oldest crusty demon?
When do guys like you finally go, I reckon I'm cooked?
You know what? I always thought it'd be when my body told me it was enough.
Yeah.
But I'm 30 now and I've been putting pressure on myself really hard the last 5 years and it's mentally taken a bit of a toll on me. It's hard to push the limits day in, day out.
Mm.
So when I'm happy with how successful my career's been and I want to leave on top too and I'm right there.
Hey, Rob, where do you go from Krusty Demon then? What's the next step? Is there any other?
I don't think there is there?
Well,
is that...
what would you come down to? Maybe motorsport?
You know what? I have family in the V8 supercars.
Yeah, there you go. See, I'm
he
not so
owns
far
a dealership
off
in Benalla there. Mm. So he,
okay.
With age, you get a cage, I've been told. So hopefully, a roll cage in a V8 supercar.
I've done a hot lap at Phillip Island on the back of Doohan's bike.
Yep.
And I still to this day, it was one of the great things I've ever done.
Hmm.
And he took me out there to this day. And as we left, he popped the biggest mono you've ever seen as we took off down the straight. And to this day, I don't know whether he was pulling the piss or it was just my weight on the back of the bike.
Probably got more traction than he expected.
Yeah, I guess so.
Tell us about the Krusty Demons. What can people expect to see in this show? Which, I mean, we've seen the highlights. We know what it is. My boys want to come. My boys
are just the best.
Age 7, and they're just going, Dad, if you don't take me to this, I have no father.
Yeah, so my son's come to the last few, and he loves every moment of it.
Yeah.
And basically it's just freestyle motocross at its finest. You'll see some of the OG riders who were at the start of freestyle, and then you'll see some young kids from 16 to 18 years old, these two brothers, and they're actually nipping at the heels of me and some of the other top riders on the tour.
And you're competitive on the tour?
Yeah, definitely. Like? It's friendly competition.
And
you've
broken world records, you and all the Krusty Demons. This is forgive my ignorance, but do you break records at events? Do they happen generally?
So sometimes we do like world's first.
Yeah.
So it's not really a world record, but it's breaking the boundaries of our sport.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure there's been talks of a night of world records where they want to do a specific world record.
What about a night where you dink me and we go over a big jump? Would you do it?
We could do some wheelies. We could even hit a jump if you want.
What about me in a sidecar? So like the two fat ladies sidecar. And you go over
again. Unbalancing might be an issue there. Hey, there are some amazing dates, and you're going right around Australia with this.
Right, your next show's in Perth. To all our WA listeners out there, the 28th of September at the Wacker. Get on board. And then Adelaide Showgrounds, you're doing some big stuff. GMHBA Geelong, they'll love that. The whole town will turn out for that. Devonport Showgrounds, I've been there, mate. This is unbelievable tour. Do you love it? Which country? You've been on 40 countries around the world. Is there a country specifically really that turns out for this?
Australia.
Australia?
Yeah. Really?
Honestly, the best fans. And
does everyone get vocal and really sort of, urges you on, that screams out? And
yeah, we're a rough country. There's some roughies get out there and they really get loud and sometimes they stir us up enough to where we'll go a bit harder. And
awesome.
There you go. You've been told.
And if you
want to
find out, it's crusty.com for all the info, right?
Yeah, get some tickets and come check us out.
Good on you, Rob. Awesome.
Rod Adelberg joining us, and a shout out to our friends in Shepparton and the Goulburn Valley as well on Triple M 95.3.
Who's on breakfast?
On breakfast there, you've got our mate Sean.
Sean.
G'day, Sean.
Sean.
Drive home, that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Eric Watts, not too far away, joining us on the show.
I love how casually those guys, the Krusty Demons, talk about their list of injuries. Like, you know me, if you've seen me hurt my back, or have a knee injury.
You make us know when there's something wrong
with you. When my fingernail came off, Jane, and I soldered on like a trooper.
Well, I don't know if you soldiered on like a trooper even. And when you didn't stop whinging about it from the time it happened to 3 months later.
You got to put all that in context.
Yeah. Then we get Rob come in, who's from the Krusty Demons, and he just says, broke my wrist in about 15 places and got gangrene. And he's not a complainer. What a great guy.
Hey, talk about complaining. I have made an affected profound change here. At Triple M.
What are you talking about?
Well, you may remember yesterday.
You bunged it on.
I'm over this. And the cleaners and me, we've been at loggerheads.
Mm.
We've been in disputes. There's been some mediation.
In your defence, you haven't been abusive or rude to any of the cleaners.
Not yet.
Or have you? What I mean is...
No, they're doing their job, I'm doing mine.
Yes, but you've disagreed with the timing that they visit our
office. So there are many things, but like we do a show from 4 to 6 and then I, beforehand, use the facilities.
Yep.
So every time I go there, it's closed for cleaning. Cleaning in progress is the big sign.
I know.
And there's effectively police tape up out the front saying,
and there's
don't
no option.
Go in.
There's no other option.
I finally had enough after 5 days in a row, burst in, kicked the door open. There's no one in there. I've gone, this is just
balaki.
Not on my watch. So I have got young James out here, torn strips off him, giving him the old...
We nearly kicked the door in on his head, by the way.
Finger in the chest.
Careful, said, that could be workplace bullying.
Well, good. I've done a lot worse. And then there was the next day. It's happening again. So I go, James, I want a memo.
All right.
I've got a memo.
Oh, my God.
I have got a memo.
This makes you so happy, doesn't it?
Look at this. It was official and it went round to everyone.
What does it say?
Hi, team. I would say it's come from. It's everyone on the floor CC'd. How much power do I wield? Hi, team. Male toilets on level one will now be available and the cleaners will not be cleaning between 3:45 and 4:15 p.m. each day. Mickey, hope this fixes the problem. Any questions, let me know.
Well, I have a question. Why didn't they put in brackets, that is the time that Mick Molloy takes a piss?
Well, they should. Oh.
Whiz.
What's your language?
Swearing. Sorry.
Like.
Oops.
Because this is, and by the way, that's a good point. James, I want another memo that says no one else should use it.
Oh, but I know what, to be fair,
in this
I don't think as a big time celebrity as you are.
Thank you.
I don't think you
where's
should
this
going? I don't think you should have to have a whiz at a urinal in front of other people.
Yeah, especially given my status.
Well, no, I'm serious.
What are you talking about?
I don't think
it's
I don't
not an on-air promotion.
But so I don't think people
I'm not doing it with prize winners.
That's
the one lucky prize winner gets to see Mick Molloy take
but
a whiz
creepy.
In the urinal.
I still don't get how guys go to the toilet in front of each other.
That's a whole other argument. But my point is, maybe James, maybe I would like...
Beg your pardon. Don't
like
call James
to
like that.
Be own, please. From maybe, can we have another memo that says from 3:45 to 4:15, no one else to use the
do
urinal.
Do you want a new sign erected?
Or
made.
If it is being used, no one to make direct eye contact.
Oh, please.
Oh, hang on.
They can't look down.
Or maybe they have to make eye contact. I don't know.
Oh, you're confusing
I just don't
everything.
Feel.
Mm. All right.
And I don't want anyone in the women's toilets at the same time.
What are you talking about? People
I don't
have
know why
things...
that works. I don't know why.
No, you're on a power trip.
Yeah,
now.
You are. You're a real showbiz asshole.
I can feel it.
I'm on a power trip. Hey, is there a reaction to my T-shirt?
There is a reaction
this
to your
my,
T-shirt.
This is more cowbell. And by the way, how good was my cowbelling to the Hooters? Was it the Hooters?
Amazing.
It was okay.
Can we play really some good. Back before then?
When you learn to do it in
those idiots
time, it'll be great.
Shut up, Jane. They should have thought to put some cowbell in there. In the first place, correct?
Mm.
All right.
Is there a response? We'll
ring the
responses are, who's the trim bloke with Mick's bell from Michael Niruha?
Thank you.
It makes him look so slim. They're all saying Slim Shady.
Cowbell will do that because most people featured with a cowbell are cows.
That's true.
Scott Barlow says only the nose ring is missing.
How dare
you get that? Good on you, Scotty.
Scotty, good.
Hey, do you know what's a turnaround? Mm. Everybody's saying you're looking fabulous.
You are.
In your more cowbell
T-shirt. You've had a chance to pay me a compliment, but nothing.
I did, off air. Why does everything have to be shouted out to the world?
Have we got time for this? We talked about this the other day. We love the roasts. Mm. Now, these roasts, which they come out of LA, I think, these days, they're professional and they're not for the faint-hearted.
Not at all.
They're brutal.
Yeah.
Jeff Ross, I think, is pretty much the roast master, and he gets together a team and they turn their focus on someone. The Pamela Anderson one is the one that sticks out for me. That was the one these guys got to notoriety.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're always worth a look, but you can't be easily offended or you're just gone.
Yeah.
These are ripe, overly ripe. Even I go, whoa, that is bang out of order.
Well, you've picked out a few highlights.
Well, whose roast is this?
This is... Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin has agreed to be. And you've got to be. These people are compliant. And there's people like De Niro and others who
and
turn
Sean Hayes
up.
Is the host.
Yeah. Sean Hayes, including his own daughter, I think, Ireland.
Ireland Baldwin is up. There.
And we can't play it all. I think it's on Foxtel at the moment. So if you get a chance, go and have a look.
And Alec Baldwin is a big. Like, they're from Boston, aren't they? Like, they're big, hardy Irish lads who can cope
they
with
can
most
take
things.
It. And I think we've cleaned this up enough. So kids in the car, I think it's bulletproof. Yeah. But just. Be prepared. This gets a bit ripe. Here's a snapshot of the Alec Baldwin roast.
Don't worry, Alec. Nothing said here tonight will be meaner than what you left on your daughter's voicemail. Alec once said that I was like a brother to him, which is why we haven't talked in 10 years. A lot of people think Alec is the best Baldwin brother, but someone saying you're the best Baldwin brother is kind of like your doctor saying, good news, you have the best kind of cancer. The good part about having kids late in life, young, strong pallbearers. Alec, sit back, unclench your fists, and I promise this will be the funniest thing you've ever been a part of that Tina Fey didn't carry you through.
Alec Baldwin, what an honor to be here roasting Justin Bieber's wife's oldest, fattest uncle. It's like...
Oh, Alec, you're the only fat vegetarian I know.
Alec, no offense, but you weren't the star of 30 Rock. And with De Niro here, you're not even the star of your own f***ing roast, you know? It's like, sorry. And like with Justin Bieber as your nephew, you're not even the star of your own f***ing family. It's just like, it's sad. I'm just like, sad, or whatever you do.
It hasn't been easy being the daughter of an iconic movie star, but I'm not here to talk about my mother. Or her Oscar.
There you go. There's a little taste.
Oh, check that out, everybody.
I got nervous just listening to that go through. Might be a lot of, have you been paying attention these days? Unnecessarily ripe and controversial.
Look out. Stand by because we got Merrick Watts coming up.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
This is bang out of order this hour, let me tell you. Social media, being done in by it. Few people I know have.
Just recently.
I may have done it myself.
No. Okay. Shout out to Edwina Bartholomew.
Liam Hemsworth. Correct. Liam Hemsworth reportedly found out about his breakup via social media.
Well, that's terrible.
What have you found out via social media?
We're asking that.
We'll ask it. Keep it clean, people.
Well, kids have been. Well, do you want to?
We might talk kids. Can I talk about something my kids said?
Yes, because it was quite fascinating to me.
Quite fascinating.
And I've got something that my kids.
It's like a Nietzsche style conversation between 2 7-year-olds. I had to call them off. I said, guys, it's getting a bit heavy. It's getting a bit philosophical.
You didn't understand what was going on.
I believe in life after death. Come on, stop it.
Exactly.
We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. We've got so much to get through, but let's start at the top with this bloke.
Last time Merrick Watts was in, he shared with us a recent odd diagnosis.
I went to the doctor and I said, I think you might have Raynaud's, which is a condition where you lose blood from your hands and your feet and you suffer extreme pain, typically as a 70-year-old woman.
You're
still 10 years away, Jane, by the way.
How dare you?
Still 10 years away.
Do not give him stuff like that on a platter.
Please welcome back to the show, Merrick Watts.
You've taken that out of context.
How dare you?
No.
You're not in cahoots with him, are you?
You can say it because it's not true. We all know you're in the prime of your life. You are. You've got everything ahead of you.
Careful.
What about you?
Stop
you
now.
70-year-old bag. What are you?
I looked up when I got home that night. I was Googling Raynaud's. I was fascinated. Sorry, you've got it.
How are you going? Are you?
Yeah, it's good. We're out of the winter phase now, as my people call it, the dark era. when I say my people, I mean postmenopausal women.
Hey, Maz, have you found any other males around your age group or any other men?
Is there like a support group for Raynaud's or something?
I asked right around the bowling club, the knitting club. I went down to the park,
seriously.
Fed the ducks, asked some of the guys.
Has anyone reached out to
studio
you?
Studio audience of Studio 10. You went down there and nothing...
There you go. What?
I did. After being on this show and talking about having Raynaud's, the Raynaud's Association contacted me via social media. I'm not even joking. working, and they were like, "Oh, Merrick, we hear that you know you suffer a disease. One of us,
poster boy."
See, they go, "We can help you, and we can talk, and we can become part of our group." And I said, "Don't ever contact me again."
Oh my god,
it's shameful enough without joining a group.
Now, how are you going? What are you? Are you taking any measures or?
I've stopped wearing gloves, which has been very handy. But okay. I've got another. I've slightly moved my physical prognosis and my own physical makeup. I'm saying is, I've currently been on a diet.
Okay.
Why do you need to go on a diet?
Yeah, you're a
healthy
and you eat
young
well.
Man.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, but I had to lose a couple of kilos because I put on a couple of kilos. But I just need to slim down a little
bit. But you're doing for a role, are you?
Yeah, for a very small role. Can you tell us what it is? No, I can't. I would, but
we're seeking an exclusive here.
It is Alan Bond, the musical, and I'm playing. I'm playing the part of Fremantle.
Just in case,
you know, I'm in a film, don't you? At the moment, Rides Like a Girl.
Rides Like a Girl. That's
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, well,
it's just out now.
The reviews are good, apart from Richard Wilkins, who
is he in it as well?
No,
he just ignored me. He reviewed it, and just
strangely enough, didn't focus on me.
Anyway, it's not about me.
Typecast.
I've heard that Richard's been typecast as a horse before, but not actually, not in the equine variety.
Well, we know that to be true. Now, Mez, are slimming down. Tell us what your diet is and how you're doing it.
I was doing really, really well, and over the course of about 2 weeks, I really managed to lose about probably 2-3 kilos and trim right down.
That's
feeling really good, feeling really healthy. And what I did is I just substituted one normal human meal with an animal meal. So I just replaced that with carrots and celery sticks, and I would just eat like a rabbit for one meal.
That sounds terrible.
Okay. Are you making this up? Mm-hmm.
I made it up. That's the problem with the diet.
You made your diet up. But why?
Yeah, I made up my diet.
Why
don't you eat protein? Why don't you have a piece of meat and some carrots?
Because rabbits don't eat meat.
Yes, but rabbits are little, and you're a big man.
Why don't you eat the rabbit?
But where's your energy source coming from?
Well, that's the thing is, I was just using my human mind to power my body, but I was not working.
And that's all you came up with.
I was
going to eat like an animal.
So tired.
Well, that's it, and I was going well because I'd actually lost the weight. Just replacing one meal with rabbit food was doing really, really well until Saturday when I had a massive blowout and I had two plates of my wife's lasagna and a bottle of wine, and I went, falling off the wagon, put 2 kilos back on in 2 days.
Well, that's terrible.
Well, that's because that was breakfast.
Because you were starving. Your body was starved and you can't do it that way.
I've never seen a rabbit eat 2 lasagnas and have a bottle of wine.
Neither have I, but it sounds delicious.
I'd like to see that. That'd be a good good on Animal Planet.
Get the rabbit to drink the wine, then eat the rabbit. That's the winner.
Merrick, there's some crazy diets out there, though. Some ridiculous ones.
Well, what have you guys been on a diet? Mick, you're constantly yo-yoing.
Well, you know me, and because I take it all on board, I like to. I've got every eating disorder under the sun, and I take it very personally. You know how I.
My life's a diet. Let's talk about
I wrote cookbooks about it.
I've read your cookbooks, Jane. You're into healthy eating.
How many
yo-yo diets have you been on?
About 50. Seriously, I'm still on one now.
She's been on the yo-yo Ma diet. Let's just say.
I'll tell you all about it after the fooies.
I'm all interested in this because this is dear to all our hearts. We need to look after ourselves. When we come back,
Merrick Watts is with us.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And a very slim Merrick Watts joining us right now. You're listening to Kennedy Malloy.
We're talking to Merrick about losing weight, which must be very hard for someone who's training to be a sommelier.
Mm.
I mean, what do you do? Do you just park the wine for a while?
Yeah. Booze is not my friend because as soon as I drink any booze, like literally I can have one stubby and I just go, righto, let's get in the fridge and eat 48 craft singles. and you know what? Let's not even take the wrappers off because that takes too long. Let's just eat through the wrappers and squeeze it out the side.
It appears the craft singles never lost its appeal. Oh. It's still a staple in everyone's fridge. It's in your fridge, Mickey,
Oh, it's in the single man's fridge.
Yes, it is.
It's right up there next to the out-of-date yogurt. And that's it.
I can't even believe you know the word yogurt and have it. But we are talking extreme diets and what works and what doesn't work. And you've been eating celery and carrots and have found that not to be successful because then you load up on the weekends.
Yeah, it's exactly right. You always go back to your dirty habits. And although I have trimmed up and I've lost a lot of weight over the years, internally I'm still a fat bitch. And
I can relate to that.
What about a stomach staple? Is that, have you ever said to yourself, you know what, I'm just going to take a shortcut here. I'm going to go the lipo or I'm going to get a big staple and pretend it's never happened?
No, I haven't done that because I've got an aversion because in year eight, I pierced my ear with a stapler in class.
Oh, shit.
And it got horribly infected. And I thought, if I do that to my downstairs, it's the same thing like when I tried to give myself a vasectomy as well. The same thing. Got an infection and hit the wrong spot.
I can back it up too as a person who loves food. You've
seen
and
my
wine.
Vasectomy scar.
No, I haven't, Merrick, but. When you get your stomach stapled or anything like that, you can no longer eat proper food and you have to just, you only eat like basically baby food or small amounts. So the quality of life.
The baby food diet's not bad. Mm. Do you know what? Can I tell you this with baby food?
What?
I've found baby food to come in handy as a bit of a hangover cure.
You're really? Joking.
Well, after a huge night and you'd go, I really can't be bothered.
Maybe a bit of a chicken and rice.
No, a little, the jellies.
And pear.
The little jellies.
Or custard.
That is very sad.
Get a couple of those in the corner.
Oh, my God.
Kids, get away.
Unbelievable.
Dad's hungover. Get away. Get
Dad needs the Heinz.
It's that or lemon gelati.
Or the custard.
They're the only two things that actually work. Ash is on the line. Ash, what have you been doing, mate, that makes you, what's your secret, mate, to losing weight?
I don't know if it's an actual secret, but basically you put out more than you put in. So, and I don't mean put out, Mickey. I mean your output.
Like what, for example?
What does this involve? Exercise?
Yeah. So I run every morning. I run about 9.
Get off, Ash.
I don't want to hear it.
Dare you speak about that on our show?
I know. You run every morning, right?
All right.
Let's all take Ash's advice. Let's put in more than you take out. Okay. What are we supposed to apply that to? Relationships? I don't think so.
Ash, were you always a person who could exercise and run?
No, not necessarily.
So how did you do one day? You got up, you looked at yourself and went, have a look at that fat.
Pretty much. I used to be, so I'm a military guy. I served overseas and I was extremely fit and I became a bodyguard and had to bulk up and put on a fair amount of weight doing weights and a fair bit of exercise.
I just want to apologise for anything I said that may have been offensive. given that you are now a bodyguard.
Basically whipped you, Ash. How many kilos have you lost after making up a diet and running?
About 15.
Oh, wow. That's solid. Good. That's solid.
That's good.
Can you keep it up, though, Ash?
A lot more solid.
But can you sustain that?
So I haven't changed my actual food. So I'm still having junk. I'm still having, Coke and chips and burgers and all that stuff.
That's silly. Mm-hmm.
Now,
well, it's not, because what I'm doing is I'm trying to do the run to lose the weight and then I'll change my diet to retain it.
I'm confused.
Ash, as a man who's been through a similar transformation as you, how gratifying is it that day when you can stop wearing the training bra and you can just run, just freestyle, as a man is meant to? It's pretty cool, isn't it?
When you take that training bra off. I hit myself in the face, but
I mean, it's excess skin now.
Here's one for you, Miz. What about a personal trainer? Have you, and I'm experienced with this because I've broken 3 personal trainers who are now weaving baskets in the country going, he just wouldn't stop eating nachos. Have you thought about that?
Well, yeah, there is. And there's a great solution to that because personal trainers are expensive, as people know, right? Yeah. So what you do is you go to a park and you see somebody who's already got a personal trainer and then you just hide behind the bushes just follow everything they do. They can't tell you they can't tell you to stop,
and they can't
stop because they've got a client. It's just like, come on, what are you doing? Letting down your bloody client? Let's do some star jobs,
that
knackers.
That is clever.
See? You are a terrible
man.
Were
we taking another call?
Well, I think we're pretty well cooked at the moment.
We are, but
I think
as far as gear that you wear, are you doing any exercise, form of exercise or not? Mm. And what do you wear?
Mm. Okay, when can you get into Lycra?
Here's a question to ask you, Mick. What do you think about blokes who just, the tights, right, the skins?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with those, but I do believe that as a bloke, you should wear some shorts over the top of that. Where do you stand there? Because I saw a bloke recently who wore, it's got those two times those really tight ones. And I sort of went, mate, you need to put some shorts on.
Yeah, well, there's an experience that happened here that's traumatising for people who watch Mick.
Merrick,
play
I play squash once a week. I was playing squash at the aquatic centre. I turned up and I'd forgotten my shorts, but I saw a retail shop. So I went over and said, do you have any shorts? And being an aquatic centre, all they had was Speedos.
This is going where it should go.
And Lycra shorts. So I said, do you have them in a 38? And the guy goes, "Whoa, I'll just have a look out the back."
This is disturbing.
I said, "It's the look out the back that's worrying me." Let's just say I beat my partner in a landslide who would not go anywhere near me that day.
Traumatised forever.
I've traumatised. And, mate, I think we've given enough good advice for everyone out there.
Absolutely.
Good on you, Mez. I look forward to checking in with you soon.
Good luck with the role. Good luck with your weight loss. And we'll check in and find out how you're going. Any tips, send them my way.
Good on you, guys. Thanks for your time.
See ya.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
By the way, you can keep in touch with the show. We're on all the socials. You can get us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all at Kennedy Malloy.
We're on the socials, are we?
Yeah.
Have we had any accidents on social media? Because it comes around. It's amazing how many people...
You have to be very careful these days.
Become a cropper.
Well, we have to sign documents when we begin working in this employer that what you put out on socials is representing the company, so you can't put things out that you don't.
Where's that leave my dick pics? Oh. Where does that leave?
Very now it out. Makes sense.
Well, yeah.
I didn't sign anything, did you?
I did. Mm.
Well, yeah. Look, we're talking about that. Liam Hemsworth apparently found out that he and Marley had broke. I mean, they were married.
Poking up on social media.
How? Social media, because she's posting it all over.
So I said that was her in Italy with her girlfriend.
Yes.
On the back of a boat, and he's.
I mean, they must have broken up, before that. She's gone off overseas and cracked on.
If he's saying not, he's saying
no. But what he's saying is that she goes, "It's all over," and now I'm with someone else. That's not a cool way to find out. Although it's interesting how people have found out through different forms of social media. It could be WhatsApp.
Sure.
Well, it has happened to someone we know.
Someone we know had his
50th birthday surprise lunch ruined.
Tony Limos.
Spoiled.
There was a surprise 50th.
Well, he
apparently
found out. Let's reflect on how he found out.
Some friends threw a surprise birthday party for me. I was working yesterday from midday till 2. Mm-hmm. Then it was due to start at 3. 8 people had kept this a secret. Phone beeps at about midday. Message from Mick Malloy.
Oh, no.
"Sorry, I can't make it today, mate."
Oh, no.
I'm reading this message. Going, what's going on here? And then in the meantime, unbeknownst to me, Adam Rosenbach has called Mick and said, "Mate, it's a surprise party. Delete the message." Now, you know how good Malloy is with technology. Apparently he's fumbled with his phone for 10 minutes, rung Rosie back and said, "How do you delete messages off WhatsApp?"
No.
He ended up getting one of the boys to delete the message off his phone.
How did your wife, Kel, go to that? Because from experience, if someone's gone to the pains of organising a surprise party and gets blown up by one of your mates, doesn't get well received.
She wasn't over the moon.
That's been blown out of all proportion.
I don't think it has. Surprise. It was spoiled.
I mean, how important is the surprise?
Very important.
You're surrounded by 8 of your friends who've made an effort, including myself, and I'm the bad guy.
Yeah, you complete knucklehead. You were told it was a surprise, and it was like an hour before.
Have you ever had anything ruined for you or find out anything terrible over social media?
Yes, I have.
Yes?
Yes, I have.
What are you talking about?
When you posted a picture of a stripper in my bomber jacket.
Oh, that's right.
Hang on, Jane.
Yes, you did. My cherished Triple M bomber jacket that you stole.
You were overseas.
I was away.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden on your Instagram, that's when you're a bit more prolific than you are today with posting pictures, all of a sudden I'm in the middle of somewhere overseas and I go, "There is Mick, but there's a girl with fake blonde hair, long hair extensions."
That's not to be mean.
Had blonde hairs all over my beautiful mustard brown and
Stand
black
kittens,
bomber jacket.
Wasn't it?
Could have been
similar.
Somewhere.
That
jacket did go on tour.
It did. That jacket.
I wasn't
talk,
happy with that.
Better be giving evidence right now. Hey, we get the idea. 1-3-5-3
What have you found out on
have
social media?
Have you found
media?
Out of something being broken to you?
It could be like somebody.
Social media.
Someone you broke up with is now engaged to someone else.
Keen to find out.
Imagine that.
Yeah, let's go.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
What have you found out via social media?
I would have thought a lot of things must surprise people on social media.
It's a good way to find out stuff these days.
Well, it is. And we've had a lot of callers, not surprisingly. But Sandy, what did you find out this afternoon?
Well, I checked Facebook about 4 p.m. this afternoon and found out it was my husband's birthday.
Sandy. Jeez, Louise.
Do you live with your husband?
I do live with my husband, but... To be fair, I'm a busy woman.
And was it panic stations once you found out? Have you been able to scramble something together?
Rang him and said, "Look, in my defence, I did put on a great party for you on Sunday, bought you a beautiful gift, but you want to call on the day as well?"
Oh.
Yeah, he sounds a bit demanding. You should drop him on Facebook. You should tell him it's over on Facebook.
Sandy, that's funny. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, give Sandy a prize.
Yeah, sure. Prize back coming your way, Sandy.
Well, the husband
Sandy,
should have that.
Well, you can give it to your husband as a birthday present.
Birthday gift, yeah.
All right, Jane's on the line. Jane, what did you find out on social media?
I found out that my husband was engaged.
Okay, that's a big day.
Can you explain?
And where was your husband at the time? Was he your ex-husband? Or?
No, he was still living in the same house.
Jeez. What the hell?
You're joking.
No, I sure was.
Now we're
How
talking.
Did you find out? On what format did you find out, Jane?
On Facebook. Oh.
And what, you were scrolling
he
through?
His engagement on Facebook.
Oh, my God.
But we're still living in the same house.
And how did you break it to him that you'd heard? What did you do? Did you wait for him to come home or did you go, oh, congratulations, husband?
You don't want to know what I said.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jane, we better give you a prize too.
How did it go, though? Are you reconciled now or?
You talking?
Absolutely not.
Okay. He sounds like a bum and you can do better anyway, Jane.
Have you got someone nice, Jane?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, don't worry. You're probably better off by yourself.
Well, I don't think I've got time for anybody now.
Good on you. Thanks, Jane.
Don't be like, Jane, you're better than that. You can get back in that. Back in the race. Don't let that bozo.
She probably just wants a bit of her time.
But now that bozo's ruined it for her.
I know, it's not fair, is it?
I don't like it.
I don't like it either. But Jane will be okay. I can tell in her voice.
I see Jane
good.
Living on her own with two cats. And I don't like that picture.
Jane, that's
not
you.
I think Jane has more to offer.
Jane's got plenty of
cats and three dogs, yeah.
I'll set you up with a hottie.
And plenty of girlfriends, I imagine.
Leave it with me.
All right. Uncle Mickey will look after things for you.
Thank you.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks, Mickey.
Hey, Belinda.
Yes.
What did you find out on social media?
That my daughter was engaged.
Holy smoke balls.
Now, did this cause trouble, by the way? Was this your nose out of joint or?
My nose out of joint? Are you kidding me? I absolutely went mental.
Why did she not tell her mum and instead was so excited she put it out on social media?
Oh, because I was going to be seeing her in a couple of days and she wanted to tell me in person instead of over the phone. I kind of get that, but I was kind of going, well, everyone else knows. What about me?
Well, Belinda, I ask you, did she know you were following her on Facebook?
She knows.
Belinda. All right. That's very interesting.
Are they still together? Yes. Are they married now?
They are not.
No, they probably are. They just haven't told you yet.
I know this is now gone.
Thank you, Belinda.
All right, cheers. Sky.
All right, Sky.
Come on, Sky. What do you got for us? What did you find out in socials?
I found out that my great auntie had passed away.
Oh, well, it's not that tragic,
was that a
really.
I mean, impact on you? Isn't that what funeral notices are for?
We didn't even know she was sick, so it was quite a shock.
But on the other hand, it is your great aunt. Correct. So she's got to be in the zone,
right? She's
got
a few years on her.
How old was she?
Oh, yeah. 85, I think.
It would have been news that she hadn't died.
Thank you, Sky, for the call.
All right, good on you, Sky.
We've got time for Gabby.
Come on, Gabby. We can do this.
Gabby, tell us what happened.
I found out that my ex-boyfriend had cheated on me twice.
Oh no.
Gabby, how?
The first time a girl went on a date with him and they found me on Instagram and messaged me on Instagram telling me and letting me know. And he said that she was like, oh, she's crazy. She's sad.
Gabby. She's crazy. That makes it all right.
Yeah.
And then
a girl from high school actually found him on Tinder and sent me his Tinder profile and said, hey, you probably want to check this out.
Gabby? I'd give him another chance.
Oh, don't be stupid. Gabby, I am hoping he is your ex.
He's obviously made a mistake. He sounds like a good ex.
You got someone now?
Give Gabby a prize.
Yes.
Good on you, Gabby.
Boyfriend.
He was a bum, too.
Thanks for listening.
Let me know how it goes.
God, that's extraordinary. Wow, lucky you're not really on social media.
No.
Lucky if you get to keep posting on Instagram or who knows what might be.
Behave yourselves out there, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
A bit of etiquette.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Well, thanks to Makita and their cordless power garden range where you can find your authorised dealer, makita.com.au.
Okay, I just want to say this straight off the bat. News today, Alan Joyce is the country's highest paid chief executive, taking home $23.9 million
per
annum. Okay, whether he's worth that, I don't know. But he shouldn't be the highest paid CEO in this
country. Who should, Mick?
The highest paid CEO should be the CEO of Makita.
You're right.
Because they make the greatest product I've ever laid
Well, that
my eyes on. This is as good as it gets. They are geniuses. This is works of art.
Yeah, it is.
This is Australian bloody made. Well, it's Japanese and German.
Technology.
But Australian
technology.
Technology, but made for the great Australian outdoors.
Yes.
Who does more for the great Australian outdoors? Alan Joyce or the
Makita.
CEO of Makita?
Good well, point. We know.
The CEO of Makita, right. Anyone at Makita, the design team at Makita.
You know what? I'm going to tell you about the range. I'm going to go through them all.
Well, I'll
do
tell
I
you
believe
about
it? Okay, the cordless lawnmower.
There's 23 mil right there cordless, in annual fees.
Cordless brush cutter.
Yes, got one of those.
The cordless hedge trimmer.
Hello.
The
Brilliant.
Cordless turbo blower. Oh,
amazing. Good.
And this one, can you believe it? The brushless motor what? Wheelbarrow bucket kit. It's a power-assisted wheelbarrow, everybody.
That's
it
nuts.
Can carry up to 130 kilos, which means you could get in it. It only needs one battery to operate.
Well,
I don't want to spoil it. I'm joking.
I'm really sad. I'm sad now.
No, don't be, because I wouldn't say that to you if it wasn't true.
Don't
it's not
worry
true.
About
comes
it
comes with love.
Don't worry about it.
Come on.
I
if
was
you
really
were
trying to pump up
come
Makita.
Come on, it's good.
But just pretend you're meeting the CEO
just think
of Makita.
And
I love you, Makita. I don't care.
Mick, come on.
Jane, you can't hurt me.
I know I can't.
Right, do you know what?
What?
I'm communing with Makita.
Really?
I'm just going to get outdoors. That's what I'll do.
What?
I'll forget all about you and I'll get outdoors for Makita.
Yeah,
oh, that's the last time I ever make a job.
Trim some hedges.
Yeah, that's it.
Trim some hedges.
I'll help you.
Maybe blow some leaves.
I'll help.
That'll make you feel good.
I will blow the leaves.
Oh, that's better.
I'm
going to
do
on,
my own lawn. I'm going to do my neighbour's lawn.
Now, that's saying something.
Do you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to shake the trees to get more leaves and then blow them away with my leaf blower because that's how much I love being on the end of Makita. Every time I say, at last, my arm is complete. Cop that, Makita.
Head to makita.com.au to find your authorised
dealer.
Should have
been highest paid CEO in Australia, Makita.
I agree.
You're the best in the business. I love you.
We salute you, Makita.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
We just mentioned that Alan Joyce is the country's highest paid chief executive, 23.9 mil. So it makes him reasonably powerful. Which means, does that make it makes him the chairman, is right? Is he the chairman?
Yes.
So he runs the chairman's lounge.
Oh, yes,
hey,
he
Joyce,
does.
I want into the chairman's lounge.
But that's not the way you ask
him.
That's
the way Joyce.
You
ask.
No, you don't. Just,
that's not the right
you've got
time.
To be more respectful.
Alan.
Yes.
It's Michael here. I would like.
It's not how it works.
To,
you're not allowed to ask.
Well, put my name on the door.
No.
Seems a bit needy.
I'll kick my way in.
No, what's going to happen is I'm going to get the tappity tap tap because.
Yeah,
when it comes to class.
To wait some tables in the chairman's lounge.
I'm not
that's
what
you'll
to,
be. You will
be. Why would I be?
You don't have what it takes.
Yes,
you don't know
I
what
do.
Goes on in there.
What
I
does
do.
Go on?
I've been in there.
It's like a chocolate
I've been
factory.
A guest.
It's like the indoor waterfalls.
What happens?
There's a, like there's a pool the where girls swim in synchronised
really?
Format. You know,
that I would love to see.
Oh, there's so much going on.
I think chances are.
There's a heart-shaped bed covered in petal leaves.
There's no beds in the chairman's lounge. Maybe you might create your own. Why don't you start up your own lounge?
Mickey
I want
lounge.
To go to the chairman's lounge.
But they're not going to let people like you in.
Listen up, Joyce.
No,
let's do this
saying,
the easy...
Stop what? Speaking to Mr. Joyce
oh,
like that.
Oh, you are. You go your way, I'll go
Mr.
mine.
Joyce,
I'm going to threaten my
to
way
you?
In. You, I will. Do you
or
know what I'll
Alan.
Cause a scene there? I'll kick the door in.
Well, what's use that going to be? They'll be embarrassing for me
would they
and
throw
your
me
family.
Out, do you think? How would they remove me from the chairman's
they've got
lounge?
A lot of security
yeah,
on.
Heavy-handed too.
Yeah. You know how you kick down the toilet door?
Yeah.
I'd send a memo out.
Be a bit like that. Hey, you're wearing a cowbell t-shirt.
Oh.
I mean, they're not going to let you in with that for a start.
No
more cowbell.
But you wouldn't wear that.
I would.
Well, they don't like people like that.
That shows you it can't be tamed. They like that. That's like saying, me and Keith Richards could get away with this and no one else.
Maybe not.
You know, they don't like you wearing a suit and tie and going, hello, how are you?
Actually, they do.
It's not Downton Abbey. It's the chairman's lounge.
It's got decorum.
It's a dress code,
has
though.
Special needs.
I'm going to wear a puffy shirt.
that except.
I'm going to wear a puffy shirt.
You did play cowbell today.
Oh, I was pretty good. It was at the start of the show, Dave.
Right at the start with
can
the
we
Hooters.
Hear some?
Do you mind having
yeah, well, listen.
Here it is.
One, two, three, four.
Hooters. Kennedy Boy, thanks to Makita's cordless power garden range. You can find your authorised dealer at makita.com.au.
That's a... Good.
That was
cowbell.
Almost in time.
It was in
that
time.
It was in time.
We should start every show that way, by the way.
That's
does
a
that
good
mean,
idea.
Hey, by the way, do you, every time you play that, do I get NAPRA checked?
I don't think you do. I think
no, because it wasn't with their permission.
It's the Hooters.
Clown.
Yeah. Got a message from Deborah on Facebook. She said, if I wasn't married, Mickey, you could ring my cowbell. So there you go.
Oh, she needs
Deborah.
Help, doesn't she?
What, no, don't be. Why? Deborah's probably lovely. Why are you doing that?
Why would she do that?
Why don't you want Deborah to be happy?
Deborah is happy. with her husband.
Yeah,
she just needs someone to talk to her. Yeah. All right. Who's on the show tomorrow? Limo. Oh, of the birthday party, Limo, that you spoiled.
Oh.
The surprise party was all spoiled with him.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Sure,
he's had
that.
A good innings, though.
He has had a good
innings.
Tony's
50th.
You went to the wedding. Oh,
there's a surprise. Oh, it was a fake wedding.
Fake.
He got everyone to go to.
You can say a wedding's a wedding.
It's a fake wedding. Well, he told everyone. It was like Married at First Sight.
It was as proper
as one of those weddings.
Yeah.
He gets everyone to go, and then later I find out, having forked out, that he's not even married. He's still not married.
Cares if you forked out.
Yeah, maybe that'd be a good surprise wedding, eh? Yeah, right. Bring up, tell me you're married.
You're a cranky
married.
Wedding guest.
All right, well, Limo joins us tomorrow for a Wednesday Kennedy Malloy.
Another Kennedy Malloy catch-up, powered by Makita's Cordless Power Garden Range. More power and less noise with one battery across Makita's range of over 200 tools.